together with. To suffer together with. And that word is what characterized Jesus. He suffered with the people. You know, the world without Jesus is a world that suffers. And Jesus sees them. And here we see that Jesus suffers with them. He has compassion for them. He knows their passion, their hurting. The word of challenge for us is, do we suffer for the world? Does our heart ache when we consider the multitudes of people who do not yet know who Jesus is? Lottie Moon was likewise a person of compassion. She also talks about another kind of suffering for missions. Again, compassion holds the idea of suffering with the people. But there's also a sense of suffering for the people. In other words, going beyond just the suffering of compassion and being willing to kind of get some skin in the game and sacrifice and give and be part of suffering for the world. Listen to some of the words of Lottie Moon herself as she takes us to this new level of suffering, this new level of filial for the people. She says, please say to the new missionaries that are coming to a life of hardship, responsibility, and constant self-denial. They must live the greater part of their time in Chinese homes, in close contact with the people. They will be alone in the interior, and they will need to be strong and courageous. If the joy of the Lord be their strength, the blessedness of the world will more than compensate for its hardships. Let us come rejoicing to suffer for the sake of that Lord and Master who freely gave his life for them. Jesus had compassion for the crowds. We are to suffer with the people. We are, as Lottie Moon challenged us, be willing to suffer for the people. Great parallel passage that speaks to the compassion for the people and also speaks to the fact, as we mentioned last time, that the laborers are few, comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Verse 35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Again, that's a repeated phrase. We see that often in the Gospels. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion. What do we feel when we see the crowds? Continuing on, verse 36, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. We looked at the notion of a harvest field last time. Jesus saw the crowd is a harvest ready to be harvested. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus sees the crowd. He has compassion on them. He recognizes that they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Again, looking at the crowd as something. We saw it as a harvest last time. Now we see it as sheep without a shepherd. You know, sheep need a shepherd. Think about a sheep. They need a shepherd. Sheep by themselves without guidance, without a shepherd, without direction, are in a sorry, sad state. The people are like sheep without a shepherd. Do we see them as sheep without a shepherd? Do we have a desire to shepherd them, to introduce them to the good shepherd, Jesus Christ? Again, Jesus sees the crowd. He sees them as a harvest. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd. Lottie Moon reminds us, he says, "Oh, that my words should be as a trumpet call, stirring the hearts of my brothers and sisters to pray, to labor, to give themselves to this people." We are now a very, very few feeble workers, scattering the grain harvest or the grain broadcast according to as time and strength permit. God will give the harvest, doubt it not, but the laborers are few. Where there are four, we should have no less than 100. Are these wild words? They would not seem so were the church awake to her high privilege and her weighty responsibilities. Compassion for the people. Seeing the people. Our third thing, and we again are drawing from this story of the feeding of 5,000 and the example given to us by Jesus, in addition to seeing the crowds and having compassion for the crowds, we read that he takes action. He heals them. He feeds them. He does something. What are we doing? What are we doing when we see the crowds, when we have compassion for them? Jesus not only sees and feels, but he also acts. Again, the outline that we're using for this morning from Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. He landed, Jesus landed, he saw the large crowd, he had compassion, and he healed their sick. I'm sure he healed many who were physically ill and needed a physical healing. He also, we know, was bringing a spiritual healing to this people who were, as he described them, sheep without a shepherd. But then, later on, that very same day, he feeds the people. Let's continue the story now at verse 15. He says, as evening approached, the disciples came to him. And the disciples said to him, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." The disciples said, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus says, verse 18, "Bring them here to me." And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. And he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. This crowd of over 5,000. And that crowd all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Notice in that story the suggestion of the disciples. The suggestion of the disciples was that Jesus tell them to go away, to take care of themselves. Jesus says no, no. When we see the large crowds, and again, the large crowds represents a real responsibility on our part, a burden for us. When we see the large crowds, when we see the great need, do we sometimes think those people should go away and take care of themselves? Jesus said, no. You feed them. You help them. Another thing I hope you notice in this story as well is that Jesus himself does not feed the crowd. Instead, he feeds the crowd through his disciples and through a young boy. Well, that comes out in John's telling of this story. I mentioned last week that this story is told by all four Gospels. And in John's Gospel, he gives us some wonderful details about the people involved in that story. And Andrew was one of those people. Andrew found a small boy in the crowd who had the 5 loaves and the 2 small fish. And Andrew brought that little boy to Jesus and said, here is a boy who has 5 small loaves and these 2 small fish. The implication is that this boy was willing to give up that lunch to Jesus, to do with what he will. And Jesus, as we know in John's telling of the story, takes those small provisions. And by the way, 5 small loaves and 2 small fish, that's the perfect size lunch for a little boy. That amount would have fed a little boy. But Jesus takes that lunch and feeds a vast multitude of people. God uses the gift of this young boy. God always works in and through human instruments, you and I. We talked last time about the fact that God could have done this all by himself. He could have drawn upon the heavenly hosts, the angels, to accomplish this and so many other things. But God chooses to use us. God takes our gifts, as large or small as they may be, and he brings about great things. You know, some may say, listen, I'm not a missionary. I'm not a great preacher with seminary training. I don't have vast amounts of money to give to support all the missionaries that need to be supported. But remember that God uses ordinary people, just like you and I, to bring about the things that he do. And all followers of Christ are to be missionaries of the gospel. We're all given that command to go out and make disciples of all nations. We all have the ability to pray and to give and to go. Looking through the biblical story, we notice time and time again, God will use ordinary people to accomplish great things. We saw this little boy in the story this morning, providing and making available his small lunch to Jesus. We see likewise the story of the child Samuel in the Old Testament that God uses to be the mouthpiece to the priest Eli. We see David, the youngest of Jesse's sons, being called and equipped and strengthened to defeat Goliath and later lead a nation. We see God calling ordinary people like Gideon. When God first approached Gideon, Gideon's response was, my family is the poorest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. But God still is able to use Gideon to defeat the Midianites. God uses ordinary people like you and I to accomplish the things that he has called us to do. Even the great missionaries often started out as ordinary people. William Carey, known as the father of the modern mission movement, the great missionary to India, he started off as a cobbler, repairing shoes. David Livingstone, the great missionary, medical missionary to the continent of Africa, He started off as a cotton spinner. When we let God use you and I to take the gospel to the world, letting him use our small gifts, our small talents, our willingness to go and share with those that he's given us opportunity. Consider this poem on the importance of missions. Thou hast no tongue, O Christ, as once of old, to tell the story of thy love divine. A story still as sweet and strange and true, but there's no tongue to tell it but mine. Thou hast no hands, O Christ, as once of old, to feed the multitudes with bread divine. Thou hast the living bread enough for all, but there's no hands to give it out but mine. Thou hast no feet, O Christ, as once of old, to go to where the lost sheep in deserts pine. Shall love, or thy love, is still as deep, as strong, as kind, but thou hast no feet to go but mine. And shall I use these ransom powers of mine for things that minister only to me? Lord, take my tongue, my hands, my feet, my all, and let them live and give and go for thee. Let's look at one final feature of the story of the feeding of the 5,000. In addition to Jesus using this lunch provided by this boy, Jesus also used his disciples that day. It was Jesus who took the loaves and prayed and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples then gave the loaves to the crowd. Jesus does the same today. He trusts us to take the bread of life to hungry people. In our story of the feeding of the 5,000, it was the disciples that stood between the loaves and the multitudes that day. We now stand between the bread of life and the multitudes that make up this world of lost people who need to know the gospel. And here's another intriguing question that we want to consider. When? When exactly did God multiply those loaves? Now, I would say he did not multiply those loaves in the hands of Jesus. In his humanity, in his humanness, Jesus could not have held that much bread to feed a crowd of 5,000. I don't think he multiplied the loaves in the hands of the disciples for that same reason. The amount of food to feed that vast crowd could not have been held up in the arms of the disciples. But rather, the loaves were multiplied in the giving. That is, as the disciples obeyed the command to give those loaves, the supply was steadily replenished. It was in the giving, in the going, in the obedience, the loaves were multiplied. So often we want to make excuses about why we cannot give as much as we ought to, or excuses about why we cannot be as committed as we should. But note, we have been commanded to pray and to give and to go. We've been commanded to take the bread of life to the uttermost parts of the world, and God will supply and replenish as we do that. We just need to remain obedient to the command and let God respond with continuing to supply the need. God supplies the bread of life. God supplies the strength that we need to accomplish. God provides the open fields of people who need to hear and know their Savior. Three things we always give attention to during this season of giving for Lottie Moon. Our call to pray, our call to give, our call to be willing to go. I hope that you were able to spend some time this past week praying for our missionaries. We still have prayer guides available. If you were not able to do that this past week, I'd encourage you to give some time to prayer this week. We want to continue to pray for our missionaries. We want to continue to give. We've already made a bit of progress toward accomplishing our goal. Remember, our church goal was $1,300. Again, Lottie Moon will challenge us in our giving. Here are her words. Why this strange indifference to missions? Again, she's speaking to her time and her age, and at that time there seemed to be, from her perspective, an indifference to missions. Why these scant contributions? Why does money fail to be forthcoming when approved men and women are asking to be sent to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ to the heathen? As we give, we are supporting missionaries. We saw the video of the missionary family earlier today. We're supporting that family as they work in the country of Ghana. And then finally, as opportunity presents itself, and God does indeed provide these opportunities, we need to go. We need to go. Lottie Moon reminds us, a young man should ask himself not if it is his duty to go to the heathen, but if he may dare stay at home. The command is so plain. Go! Go. May God bless us as we look for opportunities to go and to share and to tell. May God continue to richly bless us as we are generous and are giving in support of those who are serving on the field. And may we always continue to pray that the gospel go forth, and pray for the missionaries that God would protect them and strengthen them on that field. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your great love, the example of seeing the crowd, of having compassion for the crowd, and for healing and feeding the crowds. May we likewise have our eyes open, our hearts open, and our feet moving as we seek to fulfill the call that you have placed on us, especially during this Christmas season when we remember that we are bringing to the world the message of your gift to all of humanity, all who would believe. Again, touch our hearts, our lives, our feet as we seek to be faithful to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.